The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from AARP magazine. I'm going to start off going back to the April-May 2019 issue to pick up a couple of short articles that we didn't get to last time, and then we'll move into the current issue. First of all, we've got an interview with Dr. Jan Paul. This is in the upfront section of AARP, What I Know Now. And Dr. Jan Paul, who's 76 years old, and he's the star of The Incredible Dr. Paul on Nat Geo Wild. And this is the reality show vet on what all creatures, even humans, need most. Dedicated to animals. I grew up on a dairy farm in the Netherlands. My parents said that when I was less than 3 years old, I was already taking care of a chicken that was crippled. When I was 12 years old, the local veterinarian let me help deliver piglets at my brother's place. I was lying in the straw and up to my shoulders in the sow trying to get the pigs out. That's when I knew I wanted to be a vet. The feel of fur. My wife's mother was a widow for quite a while. She didn't want any animals, but we just brought her a cat. There are real health benefits to rubbing your hands through fur. It's been proven that dogs and cats can lower your blood pressure. For older people who are alone, it's good to have something alive in the house. Petting an animal provides peace of mind. Unconditional love. Animals accept people for who and what they are. If you treat an animal right, it will reward you with unconditional love. We come home and our pets, a Great Dane, a St. Bernard, a Newfoundland, three cats, two Frisian horses, and a menagerie of peacocks, pheasants, turkeys, chickens, ducks, and tropical fish, are happy to see us. Just like people are happy when they feel wanted. It feels good. That's what people need in this world. A little more love instead of hate. Favorite animal movie. Beethoven. We have a 250-pound St. Bernard. He's the most lovable dog. Healing powers. The longer I work with animals, the smarter they get. If you let an animal tell you what it thinks it wants or what's going on, it can save lives. I saw this lady about 8 months ago who has diabetes. Her husband was taking care of her but passed away. Her little foo-foo dog has taken over for him. The dog blows in her ear to wake her up if he suspects something's wrong. Nobody taught that dog to do that. Keeping it real. What you see on the Nat Geo Wild show is real family life. In the beginning, a producer wanted me and my son Charles to get into a fight for the cameras. I said, I'm not going to do it. Our family loves each other. My glass is always half full. I think that's what people are looking for and why the show is so popular. My wife, Diane, and I go to church every Sunday, and we believe in treating others how we would want to be treated. Pet peeve. Sometimes people want to keep animals almost too long. I don't like to see this. If the animal has problems getting up and around, even with medication, or he's pooping in the house even though he's been housebroken for 15 years, maybe it's time to let go. Sometimes it's a blessing for the animal. You have to accept death as a part of life. And now, in a different frequency, I would say, here in the Money Saver column is a little article called Inside the Social Security Phone Scam. Here's what I learned by playing along with the bad guys and what you should do if they call. This is by Doug Shadell. Among the hottest scams today is the someone is using your Social Security number ploy. The scam starts with a robocall that usually goes something like this. This call is regarding an enforcement action which has been executed by the U.S. Treasury against your Social Security number. Ignoring this would be an intentional attempt to avoid initial appearances before the magistrate judge for a federal criminal offense. So before this matter goes to federal court or you get arrested, kindly call us back. I received just such a message recently and decided to call back to see how the scam was deployed. This is what I learned. there's an easy way to quickly confirm that you've received a fraud call. Among the first questions I was asked by Officer Alex Morgan was for my name, address, and Social Security number. I gave him fake answers for all three, and yet he claimed he was able to open my file right away. That's a glaring signal to hang up immediately. The goal is to scare you fast. Within minutes of getting on the phone, I was told that my Social Security number had been used to commit $10 million in fraud and that I had been charged with 11 federal counts of fraud. If convicted, I would face 30 years of prison time. The FBI was hot on my trail and about to issue a non-bailable warrant for my arrest. Yikes. The callers pose questions to further confuse and scare you. After telling me all of the above, Officer Morgan urgently asked, "Do you accept all of these allegations under your name?" What can you say to that? Sudden absurd questions like these were just added attempts to get me under the ether, slanged for a heightened emotional state in which the victim is no longer thinking rationally. They use your fear to get information. Right after asking that fright-inducing question, Officer Morgan intoned, "Please tell me the names of the bank accounts that are owned by you and how much is in each account so I can determine which are your accounts and which are fake." It was perfectly timed for a moment of vulnerability. For good targets, they bring in a closer. I had told Morgan that I had roughly $100,000 in the bank. This would have qualified me as a whale, a top potential target. A new person got on the phone, and he was clearly one of the top pros in the scammer's boiler room. His high-speed spiel. They didn't think I was the bad guy, so they would help clear my name and get me a new Social Security number. But first, I needed to empty bank accounts opened under my current Social Security number so the criminals couldn't access the cash. The secret to their theft is gift cards. He instructed me to go to my bank immediately, withdraw all the money, then head to a store such as Walmart, Target, CVS, or Walgreens, and buy, quote, government-certified bonds. That was his conniving term for simple prepaid debit cards. Finally, the fraud emerges. Once I called back with the serial numbers of the debit cards, the closer told me he could issue a new Social Security number. That's a lie, of course. With the serial numbers, he had the same access to my money as I would have. He could then steal it all and disappear. Overall, it was a depressing episode. These guys are professionals, working as a team, using top technology. But their success hinges on one thing, that you don't know that Social Security, or any government agency for that matter, will never use the phone to inform you of an issue. And they would never ask you by phone to withdraw money. So remember, any request to immediately send money to someone you don't know is a signal to hang up and disregard all that's been said. Call the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline, 877-908-3360, if you have questions about a possible scam. Now we are in the June and July AARP magazine, and let's look at the personal best section, which is interviews with a few people about the way they are using their lives well. First is Drop By Anytime. Actress Annie Potts is ever ready with snacks. She says, "I'm an intuitive cook. I experiment a lot. My mother didn't prepare food much when I was growing up in Kentucky, so I learned by watching our family cook, Cassie Boyd. She never measured anything, but she was a fabulous cook as well as a warm, loving person. She gave me the confidence to follow my instincts when putting flavors together. Now when I taste something I like at a restaurant, I'll ask the waiter what's in it so I can try to concoct it at home." That's what happened with this simple goat cheese spread, which is one of a couple that I make. I love anything goat cheese. I like to keep homemade spreads and dips like these on hand because my hours are always changing. It's hard to know when lunch or dinner is. But I can always slice up some yellow squash, pop it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and then slather it with a schmear. It's really healthy, and it's a lot quicker than going out for fast food. My three sons are grown, but they're still in and out of the house all the time. And we have a lot of family and friends. Whoever comes by, I feed. If you come to my house, I'm going to feed you. It's great to have something tasty and homemade to offer. So now, if you like, I'm going to read you a couple of her recipes. Here is her goat cheese schmear, serves 16. The ingredients are 8 ounces of creamy goat cheese, 5 ounces of fresh arugula, a spritz of lemon, salt and pepper to taste. Put all ingredients into a food processor, pulse until creamy, use as a dip or spread with vegetables on bread or crackers or in a sandwich. Nutrients per serving, 32 calories, 2 grams of protein, 1 gram carbohydrates, 1/2 gram of fiber, 3 grams of fat, 10 milligrams of cholesterol, 35 milligrams of sodium. And then she has a white bean dip that also serves 16. The ingredients are 1 can of white beans rinsed and drained, 1 clove of minced garlic, 1/2 teaspoon grated lemon rind, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 1 teaspoon salt or to taste, 2 minced anchovy fillets, optional, 1 tablespoon finely chopped rosemary or any herb in season, tarragon, sage, basil, chives, plus sprigs for garnish, 1/4 cup of olive oil plus more for drizzling. Blend all the ingredients except the olive oil in a food processor until chunky, then slowly add the olive oil and blend until smooth and somewhat fluffy. Garnish with herb sprigs and a drizzle of olive oil. The nutrients per serving for the white bean dip are 49 calories, 1 gram of protein, 4 grams carbohydrates, 1 gram fiber, 3.5 grams fat, 0 milligrams of cholesterol, and 151 milligrams of sodium. Next in personal best, my passion, see you in the funny papers. Former journalist Bill Zimmerman uses yucks to help students learn to write. Bill Zimmerman, who is 78, was an editor at Newsday and American Banker, among other publications. And he says, one of the first things I did after retiring as a newspaper editor was to tack up a postcard of Henri Matisse. It showed the artist in old age sketching some doves. I remembered other photos of Matisse late in life, in a wheelchair or in bed while recovering from cancer, making colorful paper cutouts, and I resolved to live as creatively and productively as possible in my later years. While I couldn't be Matisse, I could be an artist in my own way. I took art lessons, relearned how to play the recorder, worked with immigrants to teach them English, and returned to school to learn more teaching techniques. I'd always loved the comics pages, and I began to suspect that writing dialogue for comics could motivate school children and language learners to improve their reading and writing. So I decided to build a website where students could make their own comic strips. It was a scary process for me. I had very little experience with the internet. I worried about failing and about losing my life savings and then failing. A friend discouraged me, saying he could see no future in my idea. But my wife, Teodorina, had faith in me, and that kept me going even as we each faced health problems, including bouts with cancer. There were times when I wasn't sure how I would manage to launch the site. Still, the project gave me something to hope for and something to think about besides our health woes. Work has always been my salvation. I launched the free site in 2006, and now it gets hundreds of thousands of visits every month. At makebeliefscomics.com, users can choose from among dozens of cartoon characters and settings and write their own dialogue and stories. Then they can send completed comics or greeting cards to family members and friends. The site also offers tools such as e-books that include creative writing prompts to help young people express their ideas. Special education teachers have told me that kids with autism use the site to communicate. A grandmother in New Orleans let me know she had used it to make a comic book to cheer up her grandson while he was being treated for a brain tumor. Art therapists in Berlin reported using the site to work with Syrian and Iraqi refugee children, both to teach kids the German language and to allow them to express some of the trauma they had experienced after being forced to flee their homeland. These and similar stories make all the trouble and worry worth it 1,000 times over. I believe in the Jewish concept of tikkun olam, performing acts of kindness to repair or perfect the world. This website helps me do that. Some days I can't believe how many lives I have been able to touch just by working from my cramped living room. It shows that no matter how old you are, good things are always possible as long as you keep a dream in your heart and work fiercely to make it come true. And next under personal best, we have my workout from singer Mary Wilson, who is 75 years old and who was a founding member of the Supremes. It says, Supremely fit, Motown star Mary Wilson found healing in an ancient art. Yoga is the best thing in the world for a singer because it helps you to control your breathing. It's all about taking that deep breath. I started practicing yoga more than 30 years ago. It has been a physical exercise as well as a meditative one. Hollywood was into wellness and health in those days. In 1994, however, I was in a car accident, a bad one. My 14-year-old son was killed. That's not something you ever get over. I was shattered emotionally. I had a punctured lung and other internal injuries, a broken collarbone and a damaged chin. I couldn't comb my hair because I couldn't lift my arm. I still have not recovered physically or emotionally. During that time, my best friend, Frida Payne, told me, Girl, you should come to Bikram's yoga. I fell in love with yoga. With hot yoga, you stand in one place and stretch and sweat and you get great benefits. I love heat, so I used to do 90-minute classes 4 or 5 days a week. I don't do hot yoga as much anymore because with age it is hard, but I still do other types of yoga 2 or 3 times a week for strength and fitness. The kind that I do now is less traditional and involves body sculpting, the arms, the waistline. It's called core power. I'm in a class with 20 and 30-year-old kids. I have to sit down once in a while because I can't keep up with them, but that's okay. Yoga helps me maintain my energy because, in my mind, I am still 15 years old. And our last contributor to Personal Best today is Charlie Posch, 75, who's a retired petrochemical worker. And under My Land, his article is called Angel of the Mooring. On Charlie Poach's family property, the Mississippi River turns up many treasures, including new friends. My dad bought the family homestead, part of the old Bellevue Plantation in Paulina, Louisiana, in 1936. Our land is on the banks of the Mississippi, but when I was growing up, we didn't fish or boat in the river. We would run around behind the levee scouting for junk. The only time I've ever lived out of Paulina was after I finished high school and joined the Army. I ended up in Germany for 30 months. I started working in operations at the Texaco refinery in 1967. It was a hazardous job, so as soon as I could retire, I did. I first got on the computer the year after that. If I hadn't, I wouldn't have known about the River Travelers. I came across Big River magazine on the internet in 2009, and learned that a group of travelers were paddling a canoe down the river. My son-in-law and I went to hear them talk in Baton Rouge, about 230 river miles north of the Gulf of Mexico. I offered to fix them a meal if they'd stop downstream at my place at mile 149. They got here on the coldest day of the year, 7 people in one big canoe. We had cooked a big jambalaya, and a gang of family members welcomed them. They slept in one big tent by the water, about a quarter mile from our house. Me, I never spent a night in a tent after the Army. I've never been tempted to paddle the river, never been in a kayak or a canoe. In fact, I can't even swim. My whole family enjoyed that experience, so I started scouting the internet for people floating down the Mississippi, and I cleared out a camping space for them. Whenever I learned someone was coming, I tried to get in touch. We hadn't realized how many people come down the river, most between June and November. One year I met about 40-some paddlers. They have always been respectful of the property, usually pick up all their trash and leave nothing behind. I've heard that a few dozen paddlers a year travel the full length of the river, all the way from Lake Itasca, Minnesota, to New Orleans. But there are many others who stop north of Baton Rouge, where there is much less commercial traffic in the water and there are no refineries along the banks. Every day I ride my land in a golf cart and find treasures that the rivers brought in, the beams I use for benches at the camp all washed up ashore. And the camp decorations, too, channel marker balls, buoys, maritime ropes. I keep adding new things, like a kitchen table and solar lights. One time I had a portable toilet, but a flood washed it away. Now we watch the river chart on the internet to know when we need to move everything because of high water. I enjoy talking to the people, learning about them. I feel good when I can lend a helping hand to perfect strangers and become their friend. I read about the river angels in the upper river who host a lot of paddlers. They're good-hearted, charitable people. It makes me feel good to be called a river angel, too. I'll do this as long as my health keeps up. We're Cajuns. We welcome people. Now, under your ARP, we have real possibilities. First of all, let's talk. Help make our streets safer for pedestrians. And this is from Catherine Alicia Georges, who is the National Volunteer President for AARP. Help make our streets safer for pedestrians. Everyone should feel safe crossing a street, but the streets can be dangerous, especially for older Americans. The number of pedestrians killed by vehicles rose 35% in the past decade, and the death rate is almost twice as high for people over 75 as for the general population. Making streets safe has been an important issue for AARP. It's why we help fund the National Complete Streets Coalition's yearly report, Dangerous by Design, which tracks pedestrian safety. The news in the most recent report was not good. The past 2 years were the deadliest since 1990. As the report says, we are not devoting nearly enough attention to the unique needs of older adults when we design our streets. This issue is of critical importance to AARP's members. When we don't feel safe crossing the street, we are less engaged in our community, less able to see family and friends, and more isolated. AARP is doing what we can to address the matter as part of our livable communities effort. For example, in Wayne, Maine, an AARP Community Challenge grant helped the town buy and install flashing signs that say reduce speed at each end of downtown. In Austin, Texas, AARP volunteers conducted a safety audit to see how walkable a neighborhood was, then took their findings to city leaders. That led to the installation of a pedestrian-controlled traffic light. And West Sacramento, California, used an AARP grant to put in new traffic fixtures and pedestrian-controlled crosswalk buttons with speakers and countdown timers. That helps older adults in an apartment complex safely cross the street and get to the Civic Center and its library and senior center. AARP has included pedestrian safety as one of the measures of quality of life on our Livability Index, and we invite you to check out how well your city does at livabilityindex.aarp.org. You'll also be able to see how your area stacks up on housing, environment, health, convenience, and opportunity. Subscribe to AARP's related newsletter, and that's aarp.org/livable-subscribe, to learn more about solutions to make our communities better. Finally, if you feel that the risks posed in going out for a walk where you live may keep some people isolated in their homes, send an email to livable@aarp.org Based on your input, we will follow up with the appropriate local officials. Help us make America's streets safer for all. Now, you can write to Catherine Alicia Georges at AARP, 601 East Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20049. Or you can email her at volpresident@aarp.org. And under Generations Meet in AARP's School of Talk videos, AARP Studios wanted to find a common ground between people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s and those in their last 2 years of high school. So we paired up adults ages 51 to 75 with juniors and seniors, then filmed them talking to each other in high schools. The result is School of Talk, a series of videos in which jocks, geeks, and class clowns connect across generations. The conversations range from the mundane, what is and once was considered cool, to the profound, such as how different generations view aging. I'm always thinking young people want something done now and quick, but I've definitely changed my mind about that, says Mark Silva, 65. Evan Dyer, 16, told an older chat partner, "You made it sound like growing old isn't that bad. You still seem like a fun guy." Check out the videos at youtube.com/AARP. And finally, A Century of Struggle Remembered. AARP helps celebrate the women's suffrage movement. With the recent wave of women elected to Congress and others declared as presidential candidates for 2020, we can forget that it was just a century ago, June 4, 1919, that Congress approved the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which allowed women to vote. That followed a long, at times violent, struggle. Now the National Archives in Washington is documenting the trials and ultimate triumph of the women's suffrage movement in an exhibit called Rightfully Hers, American Women and the Vote. AARP is a major sponsor. The exhibit features rarely seen photographs and documents from the mid-19th century through the ratification of the 19th Amendment in 1920. Across the river from Washington, in Fairfax County, Virginia, a nonprofit group is constructing a national monument to the suffragists on the grounds of a former prison where women were jailed and in some cases assaulted after picketing the White House in 1917. The Turning Point Suffragist Memorial will be dedicated on August 26, 2020, the centennial of the day the amendment was formally certified. Pat Wirth, executive director and CEO of the project, says the memorial will cost about $2.5 million. To donate or to learn more, visit suffragistmemorial.org. And now it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you will come back and listen next time. I'm Florence Nash reading for the Triangle Radio Readings. No, sorry. I am Florence Nash reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, which was formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long till next time. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. We'd love to hear from you.